everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm so excited for today's show. I've got Dr. Drew Pinsky here in the studio, and we are taking your calls. All your love and sex questions, we're going to answer them. Thanks for listening. Looking back, a lot of things changed my life last year, but the biggest impact came from using my intensity as part of my Kegel exercise routine. I've been doing it for over a year now, and the results blew my mind. It is so easy and satisfying to use. It does your Kegel exercises for you automatically. I just lay back and let it do its thing. Besides no longer worrying about accidentally peeing when I sneeze or cough or laugh or send a text, I have Kegels of steel, and my orgasms are stronger and more intense than ever. The intensity looks like a rabbit vibrator, but it has two pads on the shaft that deliver gentle electrostimulation directly to the pelvic floor muscles, essentially performing an extremely effective Kegel workout. When the creators noticed that the only reported side effect of the intensity was an intense orgasm, they added pulsations and an external stimulator, turning the intensity into an incredible vibrator Kegel exerciser hybrid. I could go on about the intensity, or you can watch the video review I made. Just click on the intensity banner on my website or visit pourmoi.com/Emily. That's pourmoi.com/Emily to learn more today.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can check out all the amazing things we have going on here at Sex with Emily. Follow me on social media, just because we have a pretty good time here. So you want to see what's going on? You want to see all the sex toys and the fun we have here? Birthdays? We've had a lot of cake this week. No, that's not that interesting. That's not going to drive you there. How about the huge box of, what did we get this week? Lubes. Pounds of lube. It was amazing. Anyway, it's all at Sex with Emily across the board. You can also shop at my store on the website. And I just love you all. Thanks so much for listening. And I'm going to welcome my guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Hey there. It is fun around here. That's why I can't stay away.
I know, right?
Keep coming back.
You got to keep coming back.
For the pounds of lube, especially.
Dude, don't leave without pounds of lube. I got a backpack for you.
Lube.
Yeah.
That's
Dr.
Hysterical.
Drew, it's so awesome. Funny. So I never listen to my podcast. So I've been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah, I don't listen either. To mine, to anything I do.
Ever?
Never, almost never. My right? wife listens to stuff, so I sometimes hear it in the background,
right?
And I cringe.
Right, exactly. But it's not even so much because my voice, I've already gotten over the fact that my voice is like this and I say way too much. It's more like I was there and I feel like,
yeah,
I really have
it
to listen.
Yeah,
and do I really have an hour? I want to listen to something else.
Absolutely. If I were going to evaluate myself, I'd probably listen for 5 minutes ago and I'd have many, many notes in 5 minutes.
Well, that's
me.
The thing. Yeah. And then I want to change everything. So yeah. I just don't. But then, so you're coming back. You've been on the show. You were on one other time. There were two other times.
I'm sure it's
twice.
Maybe
twice.
The last time we had a really good conversation.
We had a party. That was a party. Like, that was fun.
And then you saw me speak at the human gathering.
That's
right. You thought that stuff was interesting.
Exactly.
That's different stuff than we were talking about.
Different stuff. But what I was going to say is, well, right, because that's what I want to talk about as well.
Okay.
I never listened, but I happened to listen to that yesterday. I was running and I was like, I want to listen to it because it was our top downloaded podcast because it was that good of a conversation and maybe you tweeted it. And it was really interesting. Like, we talked about female, because of course I didn't remember all the details, but like female sexuality and what are the questions that women have to ask about? Why don't women know how to connect with their body sexually?
Yeah, yeah. With that always mystified me.
Right.
Still does.
We were starting like a movement. It was just a good show. So if you guys haven't seen that one, check it out.
There is some new data, by the way, that sort of piles onto this. And it makes me think we're in a little bit of I know we're in a different historical moment here. I think anybody that doesn't sort of feel that way is not living in with the rest of us.
Right.
And some data came out of Connecticut that shows that women, although they don't say they evaluate potential partners so much by physical appearance, when they measure it now, it turns out they are, and even their moms are. So in other words, if you hold personality and character traits constant, he's nice, he's giving, he's thoughtful, he's blah, 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 hold all those things constant right. and show you five pictures of guys, you will pick the better looking guy for
sure. Of course,
sure.
Who wouldn't?
Well, but they say they'll do less than they would, and they actually, and the moms do a little less, but same kind of thing. So I think in this age when we're bombarded by images of porn and pictures of beautiful people, it's not just affecting men anymore. So, you know, women have always complained like the body image stuff because there's so many images. I think it's now translating fully over to men where they're getting these Adonis complexes, right? They're worried about how they look. You're giving me shit for worrying about my diet before.
Well, I'm like, I got M&M's for us. And okay. You're like, dude, you work all the time.
Don't make me
we
do
it. Yourself.
It's our normal thing.
I know, we do.
But okay. And now with the choosers are also being affected, I think.
Right, yeah. Men have more, you're saying the
women
men.
Women are being more choosy about who, with the physical
but
appearance.
But I feel like, I guess that women are
more.
Like.
Not that they would all never have any. In previous studies, it didn't show as much. And they reported less even than they're doing now.
That's interesting. I wonder if it does have to do with all the social.
Makes
I'm
sense,
not sure
right?
what it does. Well, I would think if everything, I would think that would always be the same with all else being equal. If empirically there's a photo of
you're
the best
right,
looking
you're
man.
Right. However, it seems to be more powerful now.
Okay.
All else being equal, right?
Okay.
And they're gonna start to look at different age groups, things like that. But I think there's a little shift going on.
That's
and why not, right? Why shouldn't there be shifts?
Well, there's always shifts, I guess, going on in that. But
and that goes to what you wanted to talk about, which is that we are an embedded species. And we don't like thinking about that. We like thinking about our individualism. And we like studying individual brains and individual systems and talk about our individual experiences. But we are deeply embedded in a history and a social context.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking a lot about that these days.
So let's talk. Okay. So that's the other thing I was going to talk about is that I saw you speak at the Human Gathering Project. Is that what the human? What is it called?
TH something. The Human Gathering.
Human Gathering.
Wait.
THG.
THG. The Human Gathering.
I was there for 3 days. And you opened it. It was random. I met the guys that who were starting it or who were a part of it, creating it. And they're like, oh, we're doing this thing tomorrow. And then they asked what I did. And I said, I did this radio show. And I think I heard you on Loveline. Well, actually, Dr. Drew speak. I'm like, he is. He's a good friend of mine. I'm going to show up. And I was so blown away because I've heard you speak so many times. I've watched your show.
We sat next to each other
on Loveline. And I've watched your show on HLN. And I've actually listened to more of your podcast than my own. And you were on stage and it was captivating because it's kind of like the environment was sort of like set up like a TED Talky kind of thing, right? Yeah, it was kind of thought leaders. And I don't know how much they even told you what it was. I didn't even really.
They didn't, you know, always those things, they're very difficult to define. We're going to change the world. Here's what we're going to do. We change the world. Right. I'm like, all right.
But it was through consciousness, and connection.
And I do want to get into it, but I did have another funny thought about it. I woke up a couple of days ago and I thought, you know what? Scientists and physicians and engineers never do those kinds of conferences. We are too goddamn busy trying to figure the facts out, figure the truth out and apply it rather than we're going to save the world here. We just discovered how to save the world. We're going to go do it. No, we're actually trying to actually figure this stuff out.
Are you saying like you don't do the navel gazing kind of things?
Not navel gazing. You never see physician groups going, we're going to have a gathering. We're going to figure out how to solve that. No, we're too busy actually doing it.
Well,
and that was sort of one of my
points. I thought you were kind of saying like, why are they wasting their time? But you're saying, in general, the physicians should be the ones who are getting together.
No, they may be wasting their time or not. I don't know. You only find business people doing that is what I'm saying.
True, because
everybody else is too busy actually applying their skill and developing their craft and stuff. And it was sort of what I was talking about too. Remember I was saying, listen, it's one person at a time. And in order to really change one person, you have to have a lot of skill and a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience. And they miss that part. They want to go solve clean water for the world, which I applaud them for. Absolutely.
I didn't get any of that. I don't even remember that part. I'm not even talking about that. See, this is why you were there,
but this is the part I didn't emphasize because I was afraid people were going to get turned off by that. I don't mean to turn them off. I mean to say they're looking for something more. They made a bunch of money and they're looking for something more. I've seen a million of these guys.
Right. I know all these guys before they
started. And now they're like, I always get pissed off. I'm like, oh, dude, I've been making a difference for a long time and I'm very grateful to have that. I wish I had your money.
Right.
I mean, that would be fantastic for my family.
But they're talking about philanthropy and giving back and then how they've added
money. It's grandiose. And my point is, you really want to get that feeling of eudaimonia, which is what I was talking about, which is a certain kind of happiness. You get it one person at a time. Recovering people have it. right? They have it like crazy.
Right.
People that are in helping professions have it like crazy.
Right.
And they don't want to do that. They don't want to get the skill. They don't want to take the time. They don't, the patience. It's a really interesting thing.
But you were talking.
And I don't want to discourage it from it because I want them to solve the water problem for Africa.
But
whatever.
I think they were talking about, it was more about like, it was about consciousness and it was about like,
well, I was talking about that. I was, but is that what they went on? They went on to talk about that?
Yes, a lot of people. I mean, no, because I told you people were talking about company culture and I'm like, oh God, do I have a good company culture? Is everyone here happy? You know, and there was some businessy stuff. Like,
you guys, so
they're pointing at the sex toy closet.
Oh, I see. They're pointing at the closet. But like, they're always
happy. Do I talk to my staff? You know, there was stuff like that. And there was about like businesses and making connections, but you were like on the, like there was a moment and Valerie, your publicist who's been with you for 20 years. Yeah. I did not know she was there. And then we both look at each other, run across the room. She's like, I've never seen him like this.
Right.
So it was when you were on the floor and you were like talking about how we were talking about happiness, first of all.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how, you know, it's this elusive thing and there's all these books on happiness and no one ever defines what happiness is.
Right.
And then you're saying, you know, it's actually about, you know, you were saying that you're grateful. If you're grateful a few times a day, that's what, you
that's
know, can make you happy.
That's
a sign that you can be happy.
And it also adds to happiness too, yeah.
It kind of adds to happiness. But then also when you were talking about, and this might be too much because we do have callers, we have things that
okay,
we're doing.
It's a word away from sex a little bit, but go ahead.
But I don't know. I just, when you were talking about your experience, I think it was with your therapy, rational emotive therapy. Is that what, right?
Emotionally focused therapy.
Oh, God. Emotionally focused therapy. And you were talking about how you had the patient and you heard the...
Yeah, I hear these things and I feel these things. And
yeah.
It happens to me all the time, yeah.
And then that's, I think that's, but it's
and
like the embodiment and it's the work.
Right.
And it's so a lot of what people are feeling.
Right.
They don't know what, even know what they're feeling and how it manifests in your body and how you learn to connect with people. And then you got on the floor and you were talking about our parents. You're like, if you're a parent, you have to mimic back
well,
their emotion. And then you got on
parent.
Your knees. And
well, this woman was like, how am I going to be a great parent? I'm like, do this. Get down to your kid's level. And I was trying to show and be face to face. Let your body attune. And when it does attune, guess what? Your heart rate will mirror the kid's heartbeat. Even your hippus, the pupillary movements in your iris will actually mimic your kid. And then just stay open and reflect back on your face and appreciation of what the child's experiencing. And that little model is an exchange that we can use in everyday life.
Right.
The mirroring in our face, women do that almost automatically. They do it very
they
subtly.
Do,
they
right.
do. You're doing a little bit of it right now, even with me. And I'm acutely aware of it because I had to really do a little bit pronounced as a male in order to set the boundary and to show that appreciation of what they're experiencing. And if you remember on Celebrity Rehab, the patients used to give me shit about it and go, no, there he is with that sad face again. It's like, no, I'm signaling, it's a different, I'm not catching your feeling,
right.
but I am deeply appreciating your feeling. And I'm signaling you, I'm not telling you, because telling goes to a different part of the brain.
Right.
The signal goes to the deeper right-sided holistic embedded part of the relationship.
And is that something that you think as a physician you learned it or more through the therapy? Because I feel like you were talking about your therapeutic experience that allowed you to connect more with yourself and
correct.
Then with your patients and with everybody.
I was talking about my therapeutic experience as a patient. I was talking about my therapeutic environment as a practitioner.
Right.
And then I was talking about my disciple, what's the word for all, like the disciples?
Disciple?
Yeah, I was talking about all the people what were Jesus' followers called? Disciples.
Disciples,
right?
Yeah.
There's disciples out there that I am their St. Paul.
Right.
There's a guy named Peter Fonagy, whose stuff I'm describing now. There's a guy named Alan Shore. There's a guy named Stephen Porges. A guy named Dan Siegel. A guy named Bessel van der Kolk, who I forgot to mention at the
right.
event.
No, but
these guys, I'm telling you, these guys have worked this stuff out. And I listen and read their stuff like I'm reading the Bible. I'm just in awe of it. And so it's because deep, deep application. It's the next 100 years. I'm telling you. It's the beginning of the next 100 years of understanding the human experience.
Right. And I think that a lot of what we talk about is we're always saying, in the end, love language, you should see a therapist.
Yeah,
you should go to therapy. You should do this. You should do that. And people, I don't know. It's just like, it was another way of showing
that experience.
Yeah. People don't really get it. They're like, I go talk about myself and pay $300.
And there's lots of bad therapists too. And there's
so
lots
many
of
bad therapists.
Behavioral therapies, which have a bit evidentiary sort of practice associated with them. They work for short-term problems. But really, I think I said this, we should have a different sort of term for this sort of finding meaning, fully evolving mental
health
stuff.
That's where it's all right. But I think that a lot of it is
not,
about your thoughts.
It is, but it's not mental health. It's like mental evolution or something. It's mental
realization.
It's
mindfulness.
No, it's realization rather than health. self-realization again. We're back
but
to
just
that.
As important, I don't know. Okay, let's this is what I
but
just
all our craziness question. Comes out in relationships. Nowhere does relationships come out more than and no craziness come out than in relationships.
That's why we all need a little bit of therapy. Yeah. Like I have a hard time, I think, too, with people who dating someone who hasn't, and I think we have a lot of callers today that we can help along that line. But what I want to talk to you about first is a little sex in the news.
Oh.
I want to talk to you about the dick click.
The what? The oh, dick. when your ligament clicks.
No. That's not the dick click. Oh. It's new. This was in the news today. You might have, you were probably doing 16 radio shows. No, dude, listen to this. So there are plenty of male contraceptives in development at the moment, but a new switch device has been revealed, which may be the strangest of the lot. A new device called the dick click works in the same way as a vasectomy, but it's like an alternative.
Yeah.
It operates via surgically inserted valves.
No, I'm aware of this one.
Do you know this?
Yeah,
and there's literally a click on your penis that would, they could be like, I want the sperm on, I want the sperm off.
It's not
Who's going to remember to
it's
do
not,
it?
It's not had been fully
what
researched.
What if you're really not, drunk not, or something?
I know. And reversible vasectomies have been tried a million times and they're sort of...
They don't work or they do what we were talking about before. I'm like, do they work?
They don't work reliably. And this is a company that really doesn't have the research yet to say they're going to be able to do this.
Have you seen the pictures of it?
What's going on with your hands?
Why?
Why are they red?
I don't know.
Is that
new? Are they red? No, I didn't even...
Do your hands get cold when you put in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
You have Raynaud's.
Oh, I brushed my teeth. That can't be it.
It could be.
I brushed my teeth with hydrocortisone by mistake earlier. Would that do it?
Nah.
I spit it out right away.
That's pretty smart, though. No, your hands turn white when they get in the refrigerator or freezer? During a break, we're going to go stick your hands in the freezer and see what happens.
Do they hurt
when you get in the cold?
Sometimes, yeah, but I avoid the cold like the plague.
Because your hands.
Do you think I have that Raynaud's syndrome?
That's what I think. That's what that looks like.
Because they're red like that?
I've never noticed that before.
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's pretty. I don't know what it is, Drew. God. I'm glad it's not the hydrocortisone.
I feel all hot there. Like push them against... I don't mean... That my arm is warm and yours.
I am hot.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're just your hands. Because look.
They are warm. And I'm usually
freezing.
Your
arm is not.
I wish you could all see this. This is fascinating. Okay. Well, I'm feeling good.
Good. It's not. Raynaud's is as an isolated thing. It's not a big deal.
My mom has it.
So there you go. It tends to be.
But I never had it. But now I'm just becoming my mother in every way, shape, and form. I'm going to start talking like this.
No. That is not going to happen. I promise you that's not going to happen. You passed that window.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so this thing probably wouldn't happen. I won't want to take responsibility for this at all. But
it's a good idea.
I just want to show you the switch, you guys. We'll put this on our website, but look at this.
It's like
put the switch in their scrotum.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally. That wouldn't work.
Men won't take responsibility for that anyway. When you look at the penis implants, the penis pumps, they're kind of like devices like this. But that's a lot of hardware. It's not a minor thing. It's a big deal. So yeah, I had read about that, and it started like, it's not gonna, probably not gonna happen.
Bet. None of this could happen. The male pill won't happen because men will like,
will
get
happen.
Cramps.
No, male
pill. I have a headache.
No, male pill will happen. Something like that will happen because it's not about they cannot do it hormonally in men. You can't
but
do it.
They can't stop the sperm.
Right. You can't. So it's going to be some sort of blocking agent. Either blocks capacitance, and before the sperm can penetrate the egg, it has to do something called capacitance.
Right.
The head of the sperm has to change in a certain way that helps it penetrate. So it's either going to interrupt with the movement of the tail. Or the capacitance, I think.
And you think it's really going to happen?
Someday. It's take a while.
I just feel like that we're spending so much time on the female pills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That men wouldn't take it. They wouldn't be responsible. I don't know. Okay. That's another thing. Should we get some calls, Drew? Is there anything else going on in your world?
Oh, finally. No. I was going to say, finally, they have finally they're admitting, guess what? Oral contraceptives cause depression in female. Oh, my God.
They're just saying that?
They're just really sort of coming out with it in a big way. And it's like, no, how many times on Loveline do we say, are you on the shot? Are you on progesterone
pills? Every day.
Right. That's right.
Why don't they warn women at all? I would think that there's more information now, but now we know the fact. I mean, Anna
screws
referring
their libido
back to flesh,
up.
Everything.
And, oh, my God. Anna. I mean, did Anna have a problem with this?
Anna? No. Did I say Anna?
I thought that's what you said.
Oh, no. I said, on the last show. No, but Anna, I don't know if Anna did. But when I was on the last show, we were talking about how women have no information about sex. They're disconnected from their bodies. Younger girls, like when they're first having sex.
Still now?
Yes, we talked. So you're like me. See, I didn't remember either why everyone loved the show.
Because
everyone here loved it too with us. So I was like, okay, I'll listen. Yes, I ran. I'm like, I'm going to listen to the show. And I'm like, this was pretty good. We talked all about how women don't under... I still don't remember.
I'm sure what I was talking about, though, was how mystified it makes me that in this day and age, how that's possible.
That's what I was upset because I had family and friends who have kids who are 17 and they're like, sex hurt. I don't understand sex. I don't masturbate. Gross. And it hurts inside of me. The penis, the condom. Ew. And they don't understand they don't understand sexuality. They don't understand why they should masturbate. They don't even know why they don't want to be vulnerable. So they don't even want relationships with anybody. So they're just having sex to please the guy. Nothing's changed because I felt that way.
Right. And you, that means there's something biological in this, right? And so we have to, there's a difference. And guess what? Everybody, men and women are different biologically. So you have to help them with that biology. You have to treat the men. You're trying to get them not to do something,
right?
Like, but you can't get them to stop. And with females, you're trying to get them to engage with it, to be a part of it.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. I saw something on. Do you ever watch that show? Oh, this is way out of your demo, but Frankie and the
Jane Fonda thing. Because everyone's talking about it. Yeah, I've seen one episode.
Okay, well, Susan loves it. My wife loves that show. And in there, they eventually get a vibrator business. It reminds me of you a million times. The second, third season, they really get into this vibrator business. And one of the character, a male, young male's female partner, they have sex. They do it for a long time. She says it's great. And he leaves the vibrator behind, the mom's vibrator device, which is supposedly this wonderful, super special device.
They are super special.
I'm sure something like that exists in your closet already.
We'll get some treats.
Yeah. And he hears her, after they've had this long session, masturbating and making a different sound, and it freaks him the hell out. And I thought, oh, that is so much about the man. And he confronts her. He goes, look, how come I couldn't make it? This is like the man. We want you to have the ultimate experience with our penis.
Right, exactly. Now,
How come you? Well, I couldn't. He was like so upset. She goes, oh, no, it's not better. It's just different. We're like, okay, here's what I heard. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. And it wasn't my penis. My penis was not in the room.
But we have, when you say it's different and it sounds more intense, we just hear, we missed out. We didn't hit it right. It's weird. And we can't imagine. We can't imagine that there's an equivalent experience that's better or good that's not about orgasmic intensity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're fully in that sort of biological zone in our sexuality.
No, that's true.
Even though we appreciate the connection, we like the intimacy and stuff, in terms of the orgasm part, there's an orgasm. It's either intense or super intense, and that's it.
And if it's super intense and you weren't there and it was different, then the ego, it's the ego too.
It's more than ego because it's not
biology.
But it's a language we don't understand. Because I still, as someone who tries to be very attuned to all that, I really don't understand. I watched that scene. I went, I have no idea what she's talking about. And yet that's a real thing. I know that's a real thing.
You say,
I really don't know what she's talking about.
It would be like if you used, let's say, a fleshlight, like a male masturbation sleep. Like all you could think about is like, that's still your hand though. I mean, I guess a vibration doesn't feel.
No.
You're just saying having an orgasm with a vibrator, not a penis, is not. What do you
mean? No, see, you don't understand what I'm
saying. I don't understand the way you don't understand.
Right. That's the craziness here.
Men are from Mars.
Men will have more intense experience based on who they're with, novelty, what their eyes are perceiving, and what you're experiencing.
Right.
That's the rest, right?
Is there anything I need to add? I'd rather be with a man and like.
More noise than the vibrator. Already jealous. More noise than the vibrator. What are you talking? Huh?
Maybe my orgasm. You said the orgasm sounded different on the TV.
I know. And you just said you make more noise than the vibrator.
I'm
jealous for your partners. I'm immediately jealous.
I make a lot of noise.
Right? The vibrator. Am I right? Look, there's another man sitting here. He knows I'm
Michael, what? You'd be jealous. Right.
Yes. It's weird. And there's no reason. I understand it's totally
irrational. But what about when you masturbate? Isn't it different? Like,
no. It's just whatever it's we're looking at. It's what we're looking at.
Yeah, but then how couldn't we? But if women are threatened all the time by male masturbating. They're like, I don't understand.
We're hurt. We're disappointed, right?
But women are disappointed all the time by their partners who watch porn. They're like, oh my God, does he want me
to? They're threatened. We're not threatened. We're like, why? I'm hurt. Why can't I do that?
Because you don't vibrate. But you just can't.
Let's bring
you
one
can't
in.
Vibrate.
Let's do it.
There's actually ones that can attach to your penis, your fingers. We could turn your penis into wrap something around it.
Yeah, but then you guys won't. You won't bring it all together like
no,
that.
No, we
you
don't, would.
Then you go no.
Until
it's not,
you
no,
left,
no,
and then we take it off and we leave that here. Let me take it off your penis before you walk out the door. I know it's all very confusing.
God,
okay, we're gonna take some calls.
All right, let's do it.
But this is a good time.
Right. Oh, I mean, it's we didn't talk about this at all, and it caught my attention yesterday.
No, we didn't. I was just saying we talked about women and sexuality and how confused they are. But no, we. I don't.
But this is the difference that is a perceptual difference.
And we're not teaching kids.
Well,
about
but it's the perceptual difference is so profound that we don't understand what each other are talking about. And here you and I are trying to understand. And we can't do it because it is such a different experience for men and women.
I know. So people have to go easy on themselves, I think, too, because it's like relationships, they're going to be, it's going to be a challenge if you choose to be with a member of that.
But that's just the sexuality part. I mean, then you layer in all of our histories and psychologies and interpersonal craziness, then here we go.
That's why I'm really happy living alone with my 16 vibrators. Truly, and dating. And then I have a choice to go home. Okay, we're going to...
Anybody interesting? Well,
no, not yet. I have like 3 dates.
I hope they're listening.
They are listening. Here's the problem. So I'm dating guys. I'm meeting
guys. If they weren't upset enough about knowing they couldn't give you the certain sound with their penis, now they're truly crushed. Well done, Emily. Well done.
Different sounds. That was a little, it's like mating calls.
Castrating ball buster. I never knew that.
Women make different noises too. Like you know, like evolutionarily speaking, wasn't it when they were with a man, a different man, it was like their mating call. Like the more sound, when they're made noises louder, screams, it was because their partner was coming home and they were like, you know, they were like, we're talking about like cavemen when they would
pull. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why, like, it's all about like mating calls.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm like mating call with my vibrator.
No, I understand. But it's something that your actual mates are concerned about.
They are listening, some of them, because they find out what I do.
I know.
And then they listen. And then he's like, so you're going to bring his lube? He sent me like an emoji. He sent me an eggplant emoji as a joke today. I have a date tonight. And then he's like, I wish there was a lube emoji. I'm like, we've never met. And you're talking to me about lube, but you've been listening to my podcast.
How inappropriate. How dare
he? Cancel? What are you doing tonight?
I'm always getting you to cancel dates. I don't know.
I know. Okay. So, Drew, drdrew.com, by the way. Is still what we said, everyone?
Please. Yes.
I wouldn't have known that had not listened to our answer.
All our podcasts.
Really interesting to listen. Yeah. To listen about drdrew.com. You've a million podcasts, which just go there and fill it
got
out.
This Life, got Weekly Infusion. We have Dr. Drew podcast. We have the Me and Adam podcast. So if you have anybody, Adam, fans of Loveline out there, Adam and I are still together.
There are.
We're contemplating, Mike and I are contemplating doing one.
Been a podcast?
Because a lot of people are like,
Mike Catherwood, who was the other host. Yeah, a lot of people, we have a lot of international listeners who might not know about Loveline. Okay. So you guys are going to do another podcast in your spare time. Yeah. You could just do it at the KABC or whatever, right?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, good point.
Okay, good. Should we give a shout out to our sponsors and we'll be right back? Thank you everyone for listening to the show and thank you for supporting our sponsors. We love them and we only like talk about people and work with brands and sponsors that we actually use, try, believe in, and we hope you will too. We'll be right back. So I'm going to let you in on a personal secret. You know when you ask me how to heat things up with your partner? Well, some of my hottest encounters didn't involve wild sex or crazy positions, at least not initially. The truth is, many of them start with sensation play. And thanks to sports sheets, I've had some really good times, if you know what I mean. Sensation play is all about arousal through teasing, touching, and exploration. Okay, picture this. You blindfold your lover and gently stroke a tickler on their skin. Then you explore the balance between pain and pleasure by lightly whipping their back with a flogger, then softly dragging the tassels to soothe them. Sounds hot, right? See, all that buildup and anticipation totally transforms foreplay. I even made a video to show you about these sexy bedroom tools. Just head over to sportsheets.com/Emily to see it. Oh, spoiler alert, I may give Madison a little spanking. Just click on the Sensation Play banner on my site or go to sportsheets.com/Emily today. Don't forget to use code Emily at checkout for a special discount. Okay, so we're going to take calls because we have people. Our first call is from Australia. And
awesome.
He just woke up and he's been waiting for us to call.
Fantastic.
So let's do that. Jeremy, he's 23 from Australia, and he's got some condom conundrums.
Ooh,
hey,
I love that.
Jeremy. I'm here with Dr. Dupinsky, my special guest.
Is condom conundrum a new phrase?
Hello.
I just made it up.
It's a good one. It should be a little corner. Condom conundrums.
The condom conundrums, yeah.
I
like it. Hi, Jeremy.
The condom conundrum. Nice.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Hello. Thank you for calling from Australia.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're our first call.
Thank you. I'd just like to say, long time listener, first time caller. Love your work.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for listening to your podcast, I'd be doing everything wrong because of, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
You get from porn.
Uh-huh. Exactly. That's what we're talking about. You can't learn from porn. You can enjoy porn. Not going to judge you, but you're not going to learn from it. Oh, Jeremy,
so,
I'm glad you found us.
I did just have kind of my first sexual experience recently. And I think everything was going all right. You know, foreplay was really enjoyable for both of us. Mm-hmm. And then, I go to put on the plastic and, my boner just sort of...
It just goes limp.
...dies away.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Drew.
She's kind of looking at me and I'm looking at her. It's really
I
awkward.
I got it. This happens. We're going to help you.
Okay. How old are you?
23.
And this was your very first attempt at intercourse?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a dirty little secret that the majority of men have. The majority of men have some type of major sexual dysfunction in their first outing.
Yep.
It's just absolutely going to happen. And many times that's merciful for your female partners, provided it's not delayed ejaculation.
Right.
But you can have delay, you can have premature, you can have erectile dysfunction, you can have pain. Any form of sexual dysfunction is exceedingly common first time out and seemingly out of the blue.
Right.
You don't feel anxious, you're having a good time, and all of a sudden nothing's working. You have somebody else's penis all of a sudden.
Right.
Now, right? Is that what it felt like?
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, this was just the first time. I mean, I want to clear it up. This was just one time it happened. Is that what you're saying? Or did it happen several times?
A couple of times now.
Okay.
Oh. And
yeah,
so,
a couple
so,
times.
So every time. Okay. So the next time you worry it's going to happen again, it can make it happen again.
And that becomes a thing. Even
A lot of men have difficulty sustaining erection when they put a condom on. That's just a chronic problem for some men. Mm-hmm. And what we've always told people, remember we used to tell people on Loveline?
What would we tell them?
We would tell them to practice.
To practice on their own.
I'm certain you practice skateboarding and surfing and a million other things. Practice when you masturbate, practice putting a condom on without losing your erection and masturbate with the condom
that's
on.
Exactly. Practice.
Tune your penis up to the condom. You know, find the one that works for you and find one that's good. But practice putting it on and then practicing what it feels like having a experience with the condom on with your whatever Emily devices you're using
No, I think that's a really good point. I remember that, to practice with the condom, because I think if you've had sex a few times and you remember, like, it does, it's true. If you the first time you came too quickly or you got limp and then you're like, oh, it's going to happen again. The other thing is, I'm not sure what kind of condom you're using, but there's so many kind of condoms out there right now that it could be the wrong size. You might not have enough lubrication. My favorite, you've heard me talk about skin condoms, SKYN. They're polyisoprene. They're non-latex. They are the best condoms.
Did you say skin?
Yeah. SKYN. Okay.
I've heard of those.
I'm sure they have. Right? Yeah. They're by Lifestyles. Like, Lifestyles makes great condoms too, but they're like a,
brand.
Their brand underneath the Lifestyles brand. And they're amazing. And so I think even just switching it up, get like a variety pack online, go to my website. I think we have a bunch of them on my website, but you're in Australia. Do we mail to Australia? I'm not sure. We do. Awesome. So check them out. Try it. It's all this stuff, getting new information, practicing, and getting new condoms. You're going to be fine.
Your female partner.
She doesn't care. Is that what you say?
No, she either is having one of two experiences. She doesn't care and she feels bad for you. But there's always a little twinge of, he's not that attracted to me. They always have that weird, and it's never about that.
Right.
In fact, the erectile dysfunction is more likely to occur when the guy's too attracted, too into it. The anxiety then makes you not work.
That's true. She's thinking, perhaps she could be thinking, oh, he's not hard enough.
So you got to reassure.
Right. I gained 3 pounds.
Because I'm so into you. I gained 3 pounds.
Yeah, tell her how she is.
Women are worrying about the wrong stuff. Oh, my God.
That's what we could do another show on, too. Body image. But it's true. Yeah, so she's not thinking it, but I would reassure her. Tell her, you know, don't just ignore it if it happened 3 times to the same person, because she knows she was there.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Well, normally we, intercourse just, you know, goes off the table and we just sort of play around instead. But
that's great, good. Too. Huge fan of foreplay.
I can try practicing. Yeah.
Try practicing. I love it.
Oral
try
sex,
skin
where
condoms.
Where you're going anyway with this.
Yeah.
Moral
make sure
sex.
The right size and all that. Okay, let me
not
know how it goes.
Not for you necessarily, for her.
Okay.
That's my credo to all men.
Thank you.
All males.
Bye.
What?
All males, more oral sex for female partners.
Dude, yes.
Right? I mean, don't be ridiculous.
Right.
Except for that 1% that's stealing all the orgasms that don't like oral sex and
I don't
intercourse.
Even know who those women are.
They're
said
very
that.
Rare. They're,
I know.
They're,
I feel like it was
unicorns.
Something you made up.
No.
Because now other people are like, well, she must just, she must
in
be
my
have
field
too
work,
many orgasms.
In my field
in your
work.
Field work. Women, I know. I don't really think you made it up.
Uh-uh.
You wouldn't make stuff up like that. I might. Our next call is Amy. She's 29 from Seattle, and her boyfriend wants more sex than she does.
What? Never.
God. Hey, Amy, this is Emily, and I have special guest Dr. Drew Pinsky here. We're both here to help.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Welcome to the show.
So, mismatched sexual desire, probably the most common problem that a couple ever gets, sexually,
right?
Anyway.
The
first thing to ask always is, what's he looking for and what are you looking for? What are the actual numbers?
He would be happy with twice a day, probably. Oof. If not more.
Oh my God.
I'm happy with like maybe 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty fair.
I
would say normal.
Yeah. So
it's pretty good.
When guys go crazy like that, yeah, that's pretty crazy rate. It's not, I wouldn't call it abnormal, but it's like, huh, even that, either that guy's got an amazing engine, which some guys just do. That's just their rhythm.
How old is he?
32.
Okay.
But at more often than not, there's something else going on. When it's okay. really at that rate, we go, oh my God, how could you even physically do it? Then you worry about manic episodes, like he may have hypomanic. Does he have bipolar disorder? Anybody like that in his family?
Nope, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And then sex addiction is the other thing we kind of think about when somebody's really going at it to a point where it's physically like almost impossible. Now, or it's just him. And there is such a thing as just that at twice a day. So
what do you, does any of this resonate with you at all, Amy? Because I feel like, how is he handling it when you're like, no, I don't want to have it twice a day? Like, is this a fight? Are you guys, is he like, that's cool? Like, how are you guys dealing with this?
It doesn't always escalate to a fight, but it definitely is a tense area in our relationship. And he takes it personally. Like, he thinks that it's not, like, I don't want to be with him. Like, why wouldn't I want?
Right.
How
that's
much,
all,
how
all, that's every,
feels rejected.
Every man,
time a woman says no to
we
sex,
always do. We always
rejected.
Do. We always do. And we have to get used to it chronically because every one of us males gets in that position where their female partners are saying no. God forbid if we turn them down once, they'll freak the hell out. But we get used to it.
What happens when you try to talk about this?
It really depends, but he's really open. We've been best friends for over 4 years. We communicate really well, but it's hard for him not to let his testosterone take over, and he gets kind of frustrated and kind of angry. And not in like a violent way, but just like you can tell he's like, he isn't getting what he wants and therefore he gets frustrated.
Yeah. Really, it is about compromise. It's about saying like, you know, we got to talk about this because that's just not going to happen twice a day. But maybe if you have expectations about when it is going to happen.
What are you able to maintain? What are you actually pulling off for him, so to speak?
5 days or 4 or 5?
Probably right around 4-5 times a week.
Well, okay, so
what I'm happy with.
Yeah, but maybe you got to meet him in the middle a little bit, right? Maybe
that
you got
the middle.
No, that's what she wants. Maybe she's got to go beyond what she wants and do a little bit more,
so
right?
5 times.
I mean, why should it be only what she wants?
Right?
Because like life, yeah. I mean, so what would that be? That would be 6 or 7 days
a
week.
Yeah, I think you would.
I'm trying to balance and make sure I get like my personal time in too. Like, I really like just going to bed early.
Yeah.
You know what?
Sometimes I just want to do me.
There was some research came out that showed that partners will take sleep over sex most times. And I found that.
They'll take sleep over sex?
They prefer, you know, when they're tired, they will.
Choose sleep over sex.
And I thought to myself, that's a mistake. I understand it. I get it. But it's not, you need to prioritize your relationship.
Well, I always say you got to prioritize your sex life in relationship. It really is important. Is this the guy you're going to be with? You think you're going to get married? Have children, spend the rest of your life with them?
Yep, that's the plan.
Okay, well, if that's the plan, then this is the most important thing.
This
because
ain't going
when there's
away.
A problem with sex, if there's a problem with sex in the relationship, there's going to be problems all over the relationship. So I think you guys do have to find a healthy way without fighting, with, you know, really communicate, you know, just say, we've got to talk about this. If it's a compromise or if it's like, you're not going to get it every time you want it, but maybe it's like, you know, maybe it's twice on Saturdays or something, like the weekend when you're not tired, or you adjust the times, you get up a little earlier so you can sleep at night. But it is about compromise and it is about talking about it so he doesn't get frustrated. He knows what to expect. Scheduling sex, I always thought it was a horrible idea, but I know that it can actually work. It can take a lot of the pressure off you, laugh of him. So,
but don't, this is the one I hate.
What?
Don't schedule it and then bag out.
Yeah, you can't bail on a sex date. You can't balance
right.
Yeah, but I just think you guys have to find a way of communicating to him about this in a healthy way, without anger, without escalation. When you're not in the home, when you're not having bed,
and again, you need to step it up a little bit, and then you need to look at him honestly. Like, is he sort of hypomanic? Hypomania is not a bad thing, but you know, our president's hypomanic.
Does he masturbate? Does he masturbate?
And there are other things he can do to take care of himself. Right. And ask him, like, hey, you need to take some responsibility for your own sexuality too. You can't.
Twice a day to me is a little. I'm sorry, but
excessive.
I would think like it is.
Much.
I don't think she has to step up to that. I feel
no,
like.
If she gets 6 or 7 times a week, I bet he settles down, number one.
I'm exhausted.
And then number two, there's something we don't talk about enough, is that we shouldn't be burdening our partners with the totality of our sexual needs, whatever that might be. In other words, that's kind of unfair.
That's why the vibrator. Why are you guys so upset that I'm using the vibrator without
you?
No, it's
what it sounds like when you do the vibrator.
Don't listen. Sorry, Amy. We were talking about how vibrators men don't get, whether they just feel different, not better than you.
No. Yeah.
And I get you on your self-love time. So I think there's a way to talk to him about this that's like, you're probably having the same conversation over and over again. It's not going anywhere. So it's like taking it out of the house when you guys are like, you know, not in the bedroom, and just saying, listen, I love you. We've got to find a way to work this out through compromise, through, without you getting angry. Buy him a fleshlight, you know, give him time to masturbate, do his own thing. So you're both like satisfied, which I think you can do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the key.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Amy. So glad to talk to you. Bye. That is a big, that I would say that is one of the top questions we get asked about mismatched libidos the time. And it's men and women.
Like, and to me, it's bizarre that people aren't aware that that's likely to happen. They sort of prepare for it, work it out, figure it out and stuff.
None of these things. People are huge fans, but they ask every day. Every day. That's what's going to help them. That's why we're here on the planet. Okay, next call is Marie, 33, from Boston. And she wants to know how to have pleasurable sex during pregnancy. Hi, Marie. Oof. I'm here with Dr. Dupinsky, my special guest today. So we're both here to help you with this.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
We're so good. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about the guest as well. So
yeah,
hello.
It's a good. Drew, she's excited about you. Yeah, you got it?
Hey there.
Hi.
She may be one of that 1% I was just talking about.
What? Okay, Drew's, okay, tell us what's going on. Drew's already jumping to conclusions about you here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. And first of all, can you hear me okay? I'm using my headphones.
You sound amazing.
Okay, great. So, basically, so right now I'm 20 weeks pregnant. I'll be 21 weeks on Friday.
Okay.
I found out on, it was week 19, so it'll be 2 weeks ago Friday, so the baby's fine. We had the full-on ultrasound. Everything with the baby is perfect. My health is great. So that is a huge plus. But one thing we found out is I have a condition called placenta previa.
Uh-oh.
Which,
that's what I was afraid you were going to say. That's the one time you got to be extra super careful with all this.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Exactly.
Have they forbidden intercourse because of it?
They have.
Okay.
So,
and placenta, let's just tell everybody what placenta previa is, where the placenta, it's not in the right position. Not right. It's in an unusual position. So it lies over the cervix. And as such, if you stimulate the cervix, you can start bleeding and cause all kinds of problems. You don't want to disrupt the attachment of the placenta.
Right. So you can't. So yeah, your issue is that you can't have intercourse. And you're trying to figure out what else to do, right?
I told you this is somebody that likes intercourse.
You did say that.
Yes. I am.
And this is somebody who orgasms with intercourse.
Do you orgasm through intercourse?
And
you have more than one orgasm typically, right?
Typically one.
One. Okay.
But I do, it is like a build, like smaller orgasms up into like a bigger like orgasm.
Right. Okay. And has any of that changed during pregnancy?
It has not actually, and
it's gotten
I
more.
Will say I do feel more stimulated.
Yeah, it's going to get even.
Pregnant.
It's going to get even more in the third, you know, later on.
But your question is about how you guys can really connect now that you can't have intercourse.
No, here's the problem. So you got to zero in on this. She's in the category that doesn't really like the oral sex so much. You see?
Do you not like oral sex?
So I do, but not as much. So what I want to really get down to is. You know how I can. I just feel like.
So hold on. So Emily, that's why.
Okay, when Drew and I were in Love Line, or his whole life in Love Line, he says that women. There's a lot of women who don't love oral sex.
Not a lot of women. Not a women. A tiny minority.
Tiny minority of women.
They prefer intercourse, orgasm with intercourse more readily.
And when they have, but I thought and you were saying that you said these women don't like oral.
No, the ones that are super sensitive, that have multiple orgasms.
That's what I meant.
They find oral sex unpleasant.
That's the part.
This young lady's in the middle. This lady's in the middle.
Okay, fine. You're in the middle. She prefers. I'm trying to prove a point because I told him, okay. Drew, let's...
Look, everyone, they're all snowflowers, honey. They're snowflakes.
Vaginas are snowflakes, and we all have our own challenges, and they're beautiful.
But see, what the problem is with her, she can't insert and can't do all that stuff that really gets a real orgasm. She can only do external stimulation, which is not as satisfying to her.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And also, I find, you know, I love my husband to death, and I, you know, we have great sex, and we've had great sex throughout our relationship. So this is a huge thing to lose that, and he tries to, you know, reassure me it's not all about that, and I get it, and he's been really good about it. And for me, it's just I feel like with that lacking, like without that, it may affect our relationship. Or
No, that's what I wanted.
He's going to be fine.
No,
like if you're okay with it.
Good men get their shit together when
yeah.
He is protecting you and treating you like the vulnerable person, you know, mm-hmm. this vulnerable state you're in, if he's responding to all that, believe me, that his whole brain shifts into that mode. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't be. And also, we also have a blog that we just put on our website this week. Helena, who works with me, she's actually pregnant, and she just did a lot of toy recommendations, and it's about a pregnancy sex blog. And she might be
put in the placenta preview thing too, so people, you know.
So anyway, it gives you a lot of like ideas about which toys to use, which positions are more comfortable. But I really think because in your email you were saying when you initially contacted us, you were like you were really worried about your husband more than you because you're okay, you're getting pleased, but I feel like. Yeah, he's a good
fine.
Guy. You're with him.
He's gonna be
it's
fine.
It's not gonna damage your relationship.
No.
You're totally
that
fine.
That helps because
I swear to God.
Because I'm not able to give him like the actual set, and he reassures me. He's like, "I'm fine. Like
oh
I can go a while without it." Like,
oh no, listen,
it's fine, honey. You give him blowjob. Use a fleshlight.
We need to study this woman. Ooh. She's like the perfect wife. She's like the perfect.
I know she's no really. The whole email was about she's worried he's gonna leave.
No. Can't have well, any, if that's your worry, that's
not leave, but it's gonna ruin their relationship.
No. Yeah.
But she thought he's gonna be really upset, and I feel like there's
he's
a lot of other
heard,
ways to connect.
But they're it's
he
different
won't
when.
Be.
It's different when you're just not into it.
It's not like you have a headache for 6 months.
Right. You have extremely important medical needs that are being attended to that are prioritized. And believe me, he will share that priority with you.
Yeah, fleshlight, blowjobs, you're fine. He's going to be happy. Hand jobs.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Lots of lube. You're good. Yeah.
No, thank you. And we are doing those things. And over the last couple of weeks, when this has just settled, I have felt better. But I feel like I did. I'm so glad that you responded because, or at least to my email, because I feel like a lot of women out there have this or cannot have sex during pregnancy.
Yes, so
and
true.
Then they're wondering, you know, what else I can do. And it's just something that's not, I didn't even know this was a condition before I got pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even know. Yeah.
You guys have to figure it all out as you're going along. You're like,
trust
what?
Me, there are many medical things out there, many medical wondrous things.
That's true.
Waiting to interfere with your sexuality.
Right. No, I know. Honey, just stick with it. And again, we have this great blog on our site we just published, and you should check that out. We'll tweet it out this week, but you can go to our website now. And I just wish you luck. And don't
That's
worry,
super
honey.
Helpful.
He loves you. Yeah.
Thank you. And one quick thing for Dr. Drew is, are orgasms still, like my doctor doesn't seem to be worried about the orgasms with this condition. And if you read things online, they're like, oh, stay away from orgasming. And I just wanted to...
I'm not an obstetrician, but that's not... usually the actual disruption, you know, the mechanical disruption rather than the contractions associated with orgasm. So unless you really have a very unstable placenta previa, and you certainly always ask your doctors or
ask
the nurse who picks up on at their service, whatever, and just double check. But I don't think there'd be any problem with that, as long as you're not inserting anything.
Yeah, just no insertion for a little bit.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Awesome.
Bye, Marie. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, so there's your 1-2% maybe.
She's
not that
in the middle. Like I've always said, there's a middle zone too.
I know. I was just
and
I
she's that middle zone.
Made it up.
Yeah. No, I did not.
How did I know?
How did I know?
You just know the woman. Like before they speak, you know her vagina.
No,
like the vagina whisperer.
No,
without them even being here.
What? Too many years on the radio.
I know. I got it. Yeah, pregnant sex. It's like this whole mystery. Because when else would you study pregnant sex until you're pregnant? So
what is the purpose of all this sex stuff anyway? If not to reproduce
exactly,
and have a pregnancy,
right,
there's that. That's one of the. I'll grant you,
Drew. Then I'm just like, what am I doing with my life?
Well,
I'm
your pleasure and your intimacy, and all this stuff too. But
pleasure,
but I'm glad you're blogging about it because that's good because that's going to get people
absolutely.
Need that information. I've encouraged you over the years to do
have
certain.
A baby?
Well,
just kidding. No, what? You have not encouraged me to do that.
No, I've encouraged you to like you know to what's the word I'm looking for? Include in this conversation things about medical conditions and sexuality and stuff because that's, you know, it's common.
Very common. And the pain, a lot of women feel so much pain during sex.
Yeah, and people don't think about pregnancy as a medical condition, but it is.
It is a medical condition, right? That's what we're doing. And Helena's, you know, pregnant. She's very interested. We've given her lots of toys. She's keeping very busy.
What's the best one? She's tired. What's the best one? Best toy?
Magic wand. It's magic. Yeah. It's magic. And the C-ring. And did you try the Wish yet? I'm obsessed, Drew. The Wish?
Get it out of the closet, somebody.
It's amazing. Literally, it is my
anytime Emily, she goes, oh my God.
No, you don't understand.
I got to see what it is.
You don't understand. It's a clitoral vibe, but it's. Do you know the clitoris has legs?
Yes.
Like there's the legs.
Yes, it's like
clitoris,
a little octopus.
Right. So it's your internal and external clitoral nerves.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm all
both.
About. Like the labia you put
in. Yeah, yeah.
It's squishy and soft. It's by WeVibe.
Oh, yeah,
I'm obsessed with it.
Okay.
Remember I loved the Jeju Mimi?
Yes. This is like this a mushy version of that?
This is a mushy, bigger, more clitorally stimulating vibe that I would change my middle name to Wish. It's Hope right now. I was like, forget Hope. It's going to be Emily Wish
okay.
Morse.
Is this rechargeable?
Yeah. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Okay. You knew it. Just don't lose the charger. Okay. Should we? Not you.
No.
I hear from his wife. Can we get a charger to things again? Just from Susan.
Yes, she can't keep track of one charger.
I know. Like,
so all these things you give us, if they don't have,
should I put a label on it?
If they're not battery operated, we quickly.
But they don't make the battery operated ones. They're not as powerful and fun. We've got R. He's 40 in Miami, and he feels stuck with dating, and he's falling for women where he's clear he's not necessarily their first choice.
Ooh,
hi, that's R. I know. I'm here with Dr. Drew Pinsky, my special guest today. So you've got two of us here to help you through this.
Hi. How are you?
Dating challenges. Hi. What's going on?
Kind of stuck in, I guess, the eternal friendship.
The friend zone.
I don't know if it's, you know, we've got great chemistry. We talk a lot. And this is one person in particular.
Okay.
We met through a dating app 3 years ago and dated for a while. Nothing really happened there. And she got back together with her boyfriend, and there's a lot of relationship trauma there that has continued on over.
Okay.
Yeah, but she
over the 2 or 3 years.
Stop thinking you're going to rescue her from that. Yeah. Stop it.
You're acting like a definitely. Friend. She's going to treat you like a friend. See, that's how you get into the friend zone. Is when you start being a friend.
Also, women put you in the friend zone, and once you're there, you are there.
Yeah, but you could avoid. Yes, that's true. Yeah, you're not going to get out of it. Like, are you in love with her, and you think she's going to all of a sudden get through all this men stuff and come to you? Because that probably won't happen.
No, I mean,
even if it does happen, when it does, when they retreat to the friend, it only lasts a few months, and then really shatters the guy.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, gotta be honest. Yeah. Listen, I just feel like for guys, and this is a lot of your own work to do on yourself, but really women, when we see you as a friend, you start acting, you said you talk on the phone for hours and maybe you put the gas in her car or you did this errand and you listen.
I'm going to be a little harsher. I'm going to look a little harsher.
Go, Drew.
Because we're seeing a lot of this in millennials right now. And it's, let's call it what it is. It's stalking behavior. That's what it is. It's stalking light. It's you're stalking her in hopes of cultivating a relationship one day, and she has no idea that's what you're doing. She just thinks you're the friend, and it is a little obsessive. It is, and now if you can settle for just friend, you want to be just your friend, that's fine. But don't kid yourself that it's part, because if you're cultivating, if you're grooming,
call him a stalker.
What it is. It's stalking behavior. I'm not calling him a stalker.
Women,
it's stalking behavior.
I understand. It's
unhealthy for him. I don't want him stalking.
I think it's unhealthy for you.
I can understand
you.
That.
Yeah. No, I understand for you that it is unhealthy to keep hanging out unless you're getting a lot from it and she's helping you as well with your issues and whatever's going on with your life and it's like a mutually beneficial relationship. But if you're just kind of, you're there and you're the friend, but you're waiting and you're pining away for her.
And this is a sort of a typical construct.
It is typical.
Which is the woman who goes after the powerful, abusive male repeatedly because of dad. That's her relationship with dad. And she keeps in the bullpen the guy she should be with and just keeps him there because she knows she should be. And she needs that kind of connection on hand. It's exploitative of the man. She's guilty too, but he's in the meantime falling for it and stalking.
What do you think about this? How does that make you feel? Does that resonate with you at all?
I can see some of it. I mean, I definitely see her as a good friend. And probably one of my best friends. I don't necessarily stalking, I think, might be a little bit harsh.
No, I think he's saying in general, like that the fact that it's not reciprocated.
It's a construct. As a construct, it's stalking behavior. Right. You're not a stalker. You don't mean anything wrong with her.
Yeah.
It's not unethical.
Definitely,
it's not,
I can understand it.
Yeah, it's just so, for you, it's that kind of behavior. Yeah. It's an obsession. It's one day, and if you can just be her friend, then cool, be her friend. Then it's not anything.
Yeah, but, was that your question? That this is kind of a pattern, or was it for you that like a lot of women, or is it more about this one woman? Your question.
I think it's more this one woman. It's
been 3 years.
It's been a complicated relationship because it's not only, we not only talk about ourselves and her, we don't really talk about her current situation. You know, we talk like really good friends. We check in with each other daily.
Then you're friends, but there's no sexual energy that would make it a relationship. We've never even kissed.
So it's not.
So then what's the question then? How can we help you with it?
I'm trying to emotionally move on.
Yeah.
One, because that's kind of the hardest part is as I try to start dating, I always find myself just coming back to her energy, her attention.
Right. So it's you got to pull back on that. It's a safety net for me. Right, of course. So we sleep with our exes, and you know, it's the same thing. It's comfortable. It's safe. She knows you. You know her. But if you really want to be in a relationship, the more that you talk to her and the more that you keep her in your world, it's not that you can't be friends, but you're just going to have to ease, you know, you're going to have to ease up on it. It's practice. Yeah. And she has been a part of your life, and I get it. But well, it's like when I tell people to break up with somebody, it's like you can't keep talking to them all the time.
And what do we tell people?
Tell people to tell 6 months, a year without talking, delete, don't talk on Facebook.
It's, because it's like an addiction. It's the same part of the brain. It is like an addiction. Same part of the brain going on.
Yeah.
It is an addictive. Exactly.
And you have to break it. You have to break the biology, and then you can go back and be okay.
Yeah. But if you really are serious about a relationship, you do have to break it with her. And I know it's really hard because you're close and intimate, but it's you're just going to have to, if you can pull back, that's great, but you probably have to go cold turkey. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. I can see that.
Okay.
Or get some therapy, get some support. You have somebody in your corner to really process all
this. Huge fan of therapy.
Yeah.
If you haven't had therapy yet, just like go, you know, tomorrow.
No, definitely.
Okay.
My emotional support group.
Perfect. Okay, good.
Your emotional support.
You have an emotional support group already.
Yeah.
That's code for something.
That's, yeah, what does that mean?
Well, we've got a very good group of friends.
Okay.
You know, between health issues and personal issues, we just.
That's good.
We just try to be there for each other.
What are the health issues?
Yeah, what's your health? Okay.
What are the health issues?
Well, within the social circle, there are members that are suffering
you.
From.
Worried about you. Worried about
no, me, yeah. me, no.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
Okay. Okay. I'm just saying therapy, you know, your friends, I have amazing friends and family too, but therapy does it like nothing else. If this has been something that's been in your life for a while, you know, could be helpful.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Art. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Have a great day. Bye. Yeah. Stalker.
But well, he's not a stalker. He's not a stalker.
But I'm like, oh,
but I have to use that language to get through to people.
I think it does. It's
and,
true.
Or you could use the addiction language. It's the same thing.
You're
addicted to this woman. You're craving. You're fine. You can't go break the habit.
It is just like the breakup. You got to do it. Yeah.
And it's the same part of the brain. I mean, I'm familiar with that part of the brain. And so I know when people are responding to that reward system.
I mean, we were saying we heard so much. He was 40, but we hear about this so much more now from men, young men on the show.
Oh my God.
Millennials, men, more than women, who are like obsessed with their first
love.
They
really are stalking those guys. Yeah.
Those guys are. See, that's what you're talking about. Those are the stalkers that we talk about.
I choose my language carefully. Stalking behavior is not you are stalking or you are a stalker. It's like
stalking behavior.
Spectrum behavior. You know what I mean?
No, I got it. It's on the spectrum of stalking.
Yeah. Well, it's related to it.
I get it.
That's why I want people to think about that because it kind of wakes you up. You go, oh, that is kind of what I'm doing, isn't it? I'm really not doing that, but if I did a little more, that's what that would be.
But he's seeing it as a mutual, they're both, you know.
He's in denial too. He's addicted.
Well, let's see what happens. It is addictive behavior and it's true. Even with friendship, it's hard to give up.
I want to protect him from this.
I do too. Well, yeah. You did it. I think that was good. He woke. I think he's going to wake up.
Right.
I think we woke him up.
Right.
Okay, we have Carmen, 31, from San Francisco. I love San Francisco. And Carmen and her boyfriend haven't had good sober sex and they're both struggling to find her G-spot.
Wait a minute. Slow down. So really sober? Yeah. Or are we like
I don't know. We're going to ask her. Okay. Carmen, hi. This is Emily. Dr. Drew's here with me. Dr. Drew Pinsky. You've got two of us here
on the
case today.
Hi there. How are you?
We're great. What's happening?
So like Emily was saying, I've been with my boyfriend for almost a year now. And since the beginning, I would say about 2 to 3 months into it, he had opened up feeling sexually frustrated and
what does that mean?
Pretty much telling
what
me
that. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Right, exactly. So I asked him to elaborate and he pretty much told me that I wasn't aggressive. And
usually I'm thinking of, I'm trying to translate through the young male prism. Is he in his 20s still?
No, we're both 31.
Okay. So I'm imagining he means you're not initiating enough.
Well, that's the funny part because he's even admitted that I initiate more than him.
So then what does he mean by aggressive? He wants you to dominate him?
See, this is what I've asked because I've asked him that. Like, he's not into like the BDSM thing or anything like that, but he has trouble explaining the aggression. I'm not sure. I know that he's been married before in his past relationship with his wife. They had a very abusive relationship.
Uh-oh.
And so I don't know if, you know, it's more like hate sex that he's referring to, but apparently he wants me to take the lead sometimes, I guess, and I'm not doing it, even though I feel like I am.
Can he be more descriptive?
He's got to be more, like, yeah. Could you watch some porn together that shows what kind of sexual acts he's depicting, you know, he's has in his mind, or right. He'd like to, I mean, I really think this is interesting to me. Like, I'm thinking,
did you guys
that,
watch Big Little Lies? Did he like that kind of sex?
I see that.
Oh, it's so good.
That's funny. I've been wanting him to see that.
Well, maybe it
well,
seems
if it's
like
that,
some,
if it's that, then run airlift into a therapist's office.
You need some, right. You need some visuals here. You need, if he can't express it in words, which I can understand, sometimes it's just hard to explain things that you're feeling or that you want, but it's not fair for him just to say aggressive. I want more of this. I want, you know, and you initiate more
but,
than
but
I do.
To be fair, young men really have trouble. We have tough time.
But he wants something so bad. This is the main issue.
I just want to, it's hard for us to describe it sometimes, right. So I get that.
But
I totally agree with Emily. Watch things, or, you know, look at it. Do you like that? Do you want this? How about that?
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of like pour things out like a kid, like a little picture.
But I'm a little worried. I'm a little. Are you nervous too? What you're going to find out?
Not so nervous. I just wish he was more open with me about it, because he shuts down. He tells me that he's never had an issue in his past relationship with, you know, maybe a girl not climaxing or.
Oh, you're not having an orgasm.
Yeah, that's the other problem, is I'm not having orgasms, and I'm obviously not faking it with him, and I'm explaining him this, okay. And he gets frustrated, and he says that he's never had that issue before in the past, and that I need to figure it out.
Okay, hold on. Number one, that's not
that's
fair.
That's
not
true.
Fair.
It's not true. Fair, not fair, not true. Yeah.
How many partners has he had, do you know?
He divorced about 2 years ago, and since that, he said he's dated a lot, but I don't think he's actually seriously dated anyone since me. I think they're all okay, been
so,
kind of
so he's been
like
with like one or two
so
people in his life.
He doesn't understand how women work.
Most women don't have orgasms during intercourse.
Yeah, vast majority.
30%, right, and I told him this.
Yeah. Only 30% do. He doesn't believe you? Does he not listen? You guys should just, this is what you do. Watch some porn, listen to this podcast together. A lot of couples find it really helpful to listen to this podcast because it's so hard to talk about sex.
In a year, he's not focusing on oral sex for you?
How about oral sex?
Oh, no, oral sex, he does oral for me, and I'm fine. I usually get off like that, but it's more vaginal. I cannot come.
No, that's you. That's just the way you are.
If I do oral on him.
Well, that's some matter that way, too.
Yeah.
But
it's okay for him not to come from your blowjob, but then you can't come during sex, and he still hasn't gotten the memo, which everybody should know by now, that women don't orgasm during
intercourse. Most women have an orgasm with oral sex. That's how they do it.
Yeah,
many. That's most women, and he's going to be very disappointed out in the world.
I mean,
that's so ridiculous on his
part. Yeah.
And he doesn't want to work with you. What I'm not for, he's like, told you to go figure it out. Yeah. Like, I'm not loving this language. I know you're not worried about what he's going to find out, but I was feeling a little nervous, too. When you were saying aggressive, but it's not about initiation.
I think it's all about the orgasm, though. I really think it is.
It can be.
He thinks if she can do what she needs to do, she'll have an orgasm, but she's not doing what she needs to do.
But
she
don't know what she needs to do. Right.
She can't do anything except have him give her oral sex. That's what she can do.
No, but he wants her to have an orgasm during penetration.
It's not going
to
happen.
Right, but he doesn't believe her.
Right.
So, God, I mean, Google it. Go to my website. I have a million blogs on there. I mean, this is just scientific facts, evidence, women polls. A million of them have been done that women, it's just, they just not common. I mean, 30% can, and of those women, it's not every single time. But you could go looking for your G-spot together because you haven't yet, though. Here's the other thing, sweetie. Just because you haven't had an orgasm yet with him doesn't mean you won't during intercourse.
I wouldn't give this guy that yet, because that's graduate school for this guy. He's got to first really get it right.
It could be fun. You guys could go doing it together. Like
it could be, but I'm just saying. Then he'll be like totally focused on the memory. He won't let. You know, I just know how he's going to be. He's going to be completely about that, and you know, all about fixing her and making it right. And why can't she?
But it's better than saying go fix it on your own.
But first of all, I'm saying focus on her pleasure. And do that for a few months.
But he does. She's having the oral. That's not the problem. The problem is that she's not.
It sounded like she was unsatisfied too. No,
are you not satisfied?
I'm not satisfied because I can't come. But like he is very passionate and he does focus on me a lot. But I would say, honestly, the last couple of months, though, they have been purely quickies. And
that's not going to happen.
That's been, I think, the most unsatisfied.
Yeah.
That I've been.
And is he making sure that you're at least having another kind of orgasm when you do the quickies?
No, not really.
Okay, well, then that's the conversation you say with him. Say, I can explain this. Unlike your aggressive sex you want, guess what I can explain? during that quickie, I wasn't even turned on. I didn't even see you walk in the room. You had an orgasm, and I'm not even turned on yet.
And
you
also,
left.
Let me translate for him. I know what he means by aggressive sex now. I know what he means. He wants her to take control and do whatever she needs to do with him.
So she has the orgasm, right, and he could leave in 15 minutes or less.
Or whatever, but she's not taking control and showing him what he needs. You know,
he wants you to be riding around on top like in porn and having like three orgasms on top of his penis.
Exactly.
That's what he wants. Yeah. I got it. You're right, Drew. I think, he's watching porn. He's like, do that. Be aggressive.
And that's not
meaning be aggressive with yourself so you can make yourself calm on top of me.
Exactly. Or wherever.
Oh, because we got this. Yeah. That's it, honey. And you know what? Fuck him. No, I'm with you.
I'm pissed too.
Now I'm angry.
Too. Yeah.
Now him. I'm angry.
That's right. That's why I was saying don't go to the G-spot thing yet.
Well, I just think he's going to learn something about female anatomy and the way women work. And like, it's not that simple. Like, he's not turning you on. He's not doing foreplay. Maybe he did at the beginning and now he's into quickies, but just do your thing. Like, you know, and I'm not saying he can't learn this. I don't mean fuck him. I never say that. That's really not something I would say. I'm sure he's a great dude. You're making me all aggressive. Just like your boyfriend. This would be like me. Tell him to fuck out. No. But I really think that do you love this guy? How long have you been together?
A year.
Okay. I mean, I'd say the sex, don't let it just this. You're going to keep having quickies and then you're going to have minutiae. What's less than a quickie?
Well, but the point is, all we need to do, here's the bottom line here. Let's wrap this up.
We got to wrap up. Drew's got to go.
But the bottom line is, it's Carmen, right?
Carmen,
the bottom line is,
San Diego.
You're on it.
San Francisco.
You got it right. We are backing you 100%. We support you. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying and what you're feeling. He's a little off base. He's been distorted by his marriage, where obviously she was a different biology. And he thought, you know, men are all... Or porn, which doesn't help. And what men think, they figure one woman out. They figure that's how they all are. We do that as men. And you've got to bring him up into reality. Yep. And that's not his fault, but he needs to, in the meantime, be much more... What would the word be? Empathic? I don't think that's quite enough.
I don't know. He's
reasonable.
Yeah, he's got to be willing to know what he doesn't know. Yeah. He got to admit that there's some things that he doesn't know, that he might be wrong in this case, and to listen to some podcasts.
But we got you. We are in your corner.
Yeah, we got you, Carmen.
Okay.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you.
Don't give up the fight. Bye, sweetie. Have a great day.
Bye. Emily, it's always fun. I got to go.
Oh, Drew.
I know. I know.
Love seeing you. Thank you for being here. Everyone, check out.
We just go right back into our old mode.
I know. We got to come back. Come back soon. Everyone, check out Drew's podcast, drdrew.com.
Yep, please check it out.
They're on the website and all Twitter
and
stuff.
Thank you for the We Wish vibe, whatever.
The Wish vibe by We Vibe. You're going to love it. I should give you some Joe Lou before you go.
Okay. A backpack full of it, you said.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you want. Okay, that was a good time. I love having my friend Dr. Drew here, and it's really such a pleasure talking to everybody. It feels really good. I feel very connected to you during the calls and reading your emails and all of that. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and thanks for subscribing to the show. We're actually doing 3 shows now a week, at least for a little bit. We definitely do shows on Tuesdays and Fridays. We've got some quickie shows coming out in the middle of the week. It really helps if you subscribe to the show, just because then you never miss a show. And you can also review us on iTunes. We appreciate that. I just appreciate you. And thanks to my amazing team. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Did you know that a recent study said that millennials are ditching oral sex? And what's worse, a lot of you took my survey, said when you do perform oral, you don't use lube. This made me crazy. Well, spring is here, so out with the old, in with the new habits. Go to my site and click on the Joe Flavors banner. They have amazing fruit flavors that are perfect for spring, like Tangerine Dream, Juicy Pineapple, Tropical Passion. Just pick some up, put a little on, and get down to business. I promise you'll thank me. There's a lot of disagreement in the air these days. But as you know, I'm a uniter, not a divider. And I know something we can all agree on. Sex is awesome. See? Wasn't that easy? I think all of you deserve more sex. And while I might not be able to help you have it more often, I can definitely help you make it last longer. Just use Promescent. Promescent is a clinically proven, FDA-compliant product that can significantly delay ejaculation. With just a couple of sprays on the head of your penis, you can focus on being in the moment with your partner, enjoying sex instead of stressing about finishing too quickly. The bottom line, Promescent helps you spend more time horizontal. And who wouldn't want that? Check out the latest video on my site where real people discuss their experiences with Promescent. Right now, it's easier to buy Promescent than ever before because it's available at your local Rite Aid. That's right, you can run out and get some right now, like as we're talking. Just go. Of course, you can also click on the Promescent banner on my site or visit promescent.com today.